Greetings, lovely listeners. You are listening to Saga, a podcast where a dude and a chick discuss art and animation.
And thank you for listening to Saga Podcast. This is your co-host, Sarah, and I'm here with Garrison. And today we are going to be discussing the movie, which is on Netflix for those of you who do have a subscription, called Phantom Boy.
Spoiler alert, this audio may contain spoilers, so please proceed with caution or an open mind. I don't care.
Now, this is by the same director as Cat in Paris, so it's got a very specific type of animation to it, so that's something to look forward to. This movie is about a young man who appears to have cancer and has to leave his family behind and enter hospital for treatment. What he comes to find out is that he has a talent because of his illness, and he is now able to kind of float outside of his body and do like go see the city. I feel like there's like a certain word for it, but I can't remember what it's called. It's like, it's not transhumanism, but it's like
astral projection.
That's what it is. Yes, when you can leave your body and kind of like be wherever you want. And so he does this, and he finds himself kind of in a pickle with a cop named Alex and kind of a villain-esque mob guy. So we're going to be talking about tropes of this movie today. For those of you who have not heard about our newer formats, this is one of our newer ones where we discuss different tropes of different movies. So if you have not seen this movie, go and see it so that you can understand what we're discussing.
Right. Just like one sort of comment on what you said about Leo, the boy, being like he could come out of his body because of his sickness. But Leo states that like most, if not all, of the patients that are in the hospital, they can also do it. And the cop that gets put there could do it that one time. So I'm not sure why that is.
So
is it like because they're closer to death they can do it easier, or I don't know.
I think it's a very dark reason, but you know, the cop only broke his leg. Like he didn't, you know, I don't know if he came close to death necessarily, but maybe it's because it's like a hot spot for spirits, you know, like a lot of people do end up dying in hospitals. There's like a closer connection to the spirit realm. I don't know. I could, you know, come up with a million reasons, but
yeah, if this movie were like set in early 2020, there would be tons of people coming out of their bodies.
That is so messed up, Garrison, but so true.
so about these tropes.
Yes.
We both, you were telling me that you thought that this movie was filled with like common tropes and stuff, and I didn't really see as many as you did. So you want to start us off with some of the ones that you saw?
Yeah. And this is a French, you know, like a French directed film. So, and it's based in New York City. So it's like the French views on what New York City is supposed to be like, I guess. So for me, I'm kind of looking at it like, okay, maybe these are the tropes that have kind of stuck with the French people as far as how they view Americans. 'Cause there is a lot of like mob mentality, you know, like the mafia. There are like, and these are just like vague, okay, so just bear with me. So there's like mafia boss, I've got the brains and the brawn, you know, he's got like pawns that he sends out to do his bidding. There's like cops and robbers. Robbers with an old-timey, like, Jersey accent, 1920s crime spree. There's, like, the annoying kid who just won't stop talking about, like, astral projection for some reason. Like, where did he get this term? I don't know. Or, he's just super excited about cops. Like, that's, like, the coolest job on the planet. There's the, like, captain, you know, for the police, or the police chief, you know, who's just like super hard to handle, just kind of a jerk, looks down on everybody. The unstoppable or insatiable reporter who's just like, I'm gonna do everything, you know, like everything's on my side, you know. The disfigured villain and like ghosts fading or like spirits fading. Now, I love the way that they did this in this film because they never discussed why it happened, and I thought that was kind of cool. But they did, you know, they were like, yeah, you're pretty close to death there, guy, in a couple of scenes. So
yeah, I like hearing you talk about those, and yeah, I definitely saw those now that you mentioned them. Yeah, but those are definitely like common tropes. And like these kinds of detective stories with like the kid that's like that's bugging like the main character, like, because the boy kind of seems less like a main character than the cop guy to me, even though the movie's after the boy, but, and you know, he plays a big part, but we sort of follow the cop sort of has like an arc to a story, you know, like he's sort of like a, this was one of my tropes, a reckless cop, you know, and it causes property damage, which makes the chief sort of upset, and then the cop goes off on his own, gets injured, and things like that. So that was one of my tropes. Starting the story with like a character reading or telling some kind of a bedtime story. Recently, we watched Frozen 2 that happened. It's pretty common in like kids stuff.
I didn't think about that one. That's not one I would pick up on.
Yeah. So I have here, Mary is an idiot.
Just read that as right before you said that.
Yeah, because she was during the end, when they were on that boat and she was like trying to figure out the password to like stop this, like the shutdown of the whole city, she cracked it, but she was still just kind of messing around knowing that there are explosives on that very boat and it's on fire as she's celebrating. So like just nonsense. The villain with incompetent sidekicks, I think that's a common thing. Like the slapstick sort of villains, definitely present here. So in the early stages of this movie, Leo's mom, like she tried to like stay strong in front of, her son. But, you know, when she got back into her car, like she started to break down. So like the trope of the strong, parental figure, or just like, strong character, like it could be like a boyfriend or like a grandfather or something like that, but they break down in private, and then sometimes the main character sees how that other character feels about them, which happened here. The trope of like the sidekick or pet that gets abused throughout the film, and then during the third act, they turn on their owner and then causing the heroes to win. That happened here with the little dog. And like, this is pretty common. The trope of a piece of information is kept from the audience. And several times they kept almost mentioning how he like got his face messed up, and they never mentioned it.
Right. Yeah, there was a lot of really good ones, I think. And it was very different from this director's other films that I've seen.
Don't talk about those. We may do.
Okay.
But if you want to talk about them, then you can. But
okay.
But
not right now.
But you shouldn't, but you can.
Okay.
You shouldn't.
Okay.
But you can.
I feel like I'm at an impasse here. Just like, no. Just don't do it. Okay. So I feel like there's like this itch that I don't know how to word. Okay. Like, there's like something scratching at me about this movie and I'm not sure what it is. So I'm not sure how to like verbalize what it is I'm trying to say, but it's like something to do with the astral projection and how they portray it. Like, it is just so cool. I think, especially seeing it from the eyes of like a child, it like, I feel like when you are a child, you are more like open and more like, you know, not susceptible necessarily, but like just, you have the ability to absorb everything. And so to see that and to see a kid be able to do that is just so, so cool. And I love how this movie does it because it's such, I don't even know, like, it's such, maybe nostalgia, like you said earlier, before the podcast is a good word, but it's like spiritual and wholesome and kind of scary, you know, like how, like when you're a child, everything else seems scary. It's kind of a scary thing, but this kid is super brave and he's perfectly fine astral projecting in New York City for all places, you know?
Right. Yeah. I think he may be onto something when you said that, like he's young or something. So he's like, more open to the experience. And I guess that's the same as like when people say that, like, what, like young kids can like see spirits and things like that. So it may be similar to that as to why it seems that he can do it at will when it seems like the other patients, they did it, but they thought that it was a dream and they couldn't remember, you know, doing it. So he can do it and remembers doing it. So that may be because he's young or just like has like a talent. Don't know. Yeah. So this film was pretty good. Pretty good. I liked the colors. It felt like sort of fall weathery. Having the main character be sick with seemingly cancer, because they never state it, but it seems like he's on chemo or something. I think that that's cool, having that as a main character, for like maybe like sick kids watching it can give them like strength to like fight.
Mm-hmm.
It has the art style, like the shadows, they kind of look like they're like scribbled. I don't know if you noticed that, but they're like kind of scribbled, and it had this like, and the characters had this shimmering line kind of thing, like on Ed and Eddie, with their like outline sort of shakes.
Yeah, to me it seemed very chalky. Like the texture of everything was just very chalky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It kind of had this almost like a storybook quality, because like some of the perspective was kind of weird. Like the tiles on the ground were kind of weird and the buildings were kind of weird. But I think that it really did add to the charm of the film. And I don't have any history with this director's works. So like this is my first thing I saw from this person. And I'm definitely curious about some of their other works.
Agreed. I guess we'll do A Cat in Paris later on down the road.
Yeah.
So I guess that concludes our episode for today. This was turned out to be a little bit of a short one, but that's okay. We'll do this. Maybe we'll do more tropes as like shorter episodes. That's fine too. But next we will be covering. Okay, so next we will be covering A Silent Voice. And that one's kind of like an anime movie, kind of like a Japanese movie. Very, very good. So yeah, stay tuned.
Thank you for listening to Saga Podcast, where we talk about animation and things. This is your favorite co-host, Sarah, and I would like to remind you, head off, that we do have a Twitter, a Facebook, an Instagram, a website, and soon to be a Patreon. So if you could reach out to us, leave us a comment, anything that you like, appreciate all of it. Otherwise, have a wonderful next time.
Bye. See you next time. Hope you liked it. Come again.